Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, UFC 273, recap, recap slash preview show, you know what I mean. Yeah, UFC 273 recap show, we're about to get into it. We're going to recap some of these fights, probably going to talk about what could possibly be next for the winners and the losers on some of the biggest fights on the card. And yeah, we're going to get into it, it's going to be a good one. What's up, Lee, how you doing, bro? Yo. Oh, my bad. Yo, how you doing, bro?
Oh, good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Okay, we good now. We good.
Yo, man, I'm good, man. Just, you know, man, good fights this weekend. Very good fights. Probably some questionable judging, you know, but, hey, that's what comes with the fight game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's definitely a fight that I got to talk about the judging for. Probably not the same one everybody else is going to talk about, but I don't remember that one too much, so you're going to have to let me know what happened. But, yeah, we're going to get into it. You know what? I say we kick it off like this. So, first of all, it was a great card. The Cerrone boys were in the building. I want to say you were on the white grape. White grape.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I seen that with the juicy juice. I'm gonna have to try that out for the next one. I think I'm gonna have to run that for the next one. I've never tried the white grape Ciroc. I haven't tried it. I gotta try more of the flavors, period. But that might have to be the next one. We'll have to run that up. You had that going. I had the apple Ciroc going. I was doing that with, what was I doing? I was doing that with Sprite. Yeah, I was doing the apple Ciroc and Sprite. Yeah, I was rolling off that, bro. I was rolling. We were good. I was, that was the most, and then later in the night, I ran out of Sprite, and I started with the cranberry. So, I little Sprite / cranberry. Then once I ran out of Sprite, it was just cranberry. And it was, that was the most, that was easily the most fun I've had watching a card in a while. Like, I don't remember the last card that I watched that I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed watching that one. And, I mean, obviously, it's not just the cards. You know, you have your atmosphere. It's like the people you're with. You know, you got some good food. You got some good drink, whatever you're sipping on. So, you know, there's different elements to it. And you got to kind of put yourself in a good, you know, solid environment. And, I mean, me personally, it doesn't always pan out this way, but, like, nowadays I really try to watch fights around people that are more hardcore fans. Like, that's kind of the way that I am going with it at this stage of the game, because I realize that it's just not enjoyable for me. Like, I can't just go to a bar. Like, I mean, I'm not huge into bars anyways, but if I'm just going to the, like, I like to be around people that watch fights, like, are the avid, avid fans. They watch fights, commonly. And, I don't really care too much for all the casual hot takes and, the when is McGregor fighting again and, when's the main event and, people like, oh, why don't they just stand and bang? Like, all this. Like, so I don't want to hear shit like that when I'm trying to lock in on the fight. I don't care what's happening in the fight, really. I mean, yeah, there's certain styles that I don't like, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and hate on it, though. You know, I'm probably looking at it like, okay, this, I'm just watching the fight. I'm like, this, okay, this makes sense. This guy's best at this. He's doing that. Okay, whatever. I might not like it, but I'm not sitting there, ridiculing it. That's not really how I roll. So I like to watch around people like that. It's like this fight, I had an old friend of mine. We kind of reconnected. I didn't realize, he's a big boxing fan. He's more into boxing, but he's very much into UFC too. I think he just watches boxing more, but he knows what's up with the current UFC, very knowledgeable. And I feel like he's definitely more on the hardcore fan side of things. And me and him watched it. So somebody I don't usually, you know, get to watch fights with. Like I said, we kind of reconnected just recently, and we pretty much split a bottle of apple Ciroc. We took the 750 down like it was nothing. And I actually went out to a Chinese spot and I pre-gamed it before. I already had a drink before, and I had to drink some Chinese food and then got a takeout order and brought it back. And then I had a bottle of Ciroc. I had a 750 back at the crib. So I was already sipping. I was already faded. And then, you know, we went back and then, you know, kept going. And then, yo, that it was just, you know, my bad. I got to talk a little bit about it, but it was just, there's a lot to talk about. You know, that was a really great time. That was a really great night. I really enjoyed watching that fight card with my boy. You know, we split the 750. We were rocking and rolling. And know what's funny about it is that, you know, you might laugh at this. I was standing up for, like, most of that card. Like, most of those fights that I watched, probably more than 50% of all the fights, maybe even more than 60, 70%, I was standing up. I was hyped, bro. I was too hyped. Like, it was really like that. Like, we were kind of just standing up, kind of commentating the fights as they were happening. Like, that's kind of the way that it was. And we were live.
Okay.
And, like, you know, a lot of things were like, okay, you know, next fight for this guy, okay, he's going to try to do this. Oh, yeah, you heard about, you know what I mean? Well, pretty much like we were talking like we were cage side, standing up, you know, more than half the card. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, long story. And to make that shorter, it was great. What'd you do? You lock in? Did you have a fight party at the crib?
Nah, man. Nah, I had helped my daughters move into their new apartment Saturday. So I got home, took a shower, got something to eat. And then I sat down on the couch and just watched the fight. You know, I had a long day. So I just wanted to kick back and relax. So that's what I did, man. Helped my daughters move, came home, took a shower, made me a drink, you know, kick back, relax, and sat back and watched the fights. So it was an easy night for your boy.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I'll say this. What would you say was your favorite fight or your favorite moment? I mean, if it's not all the way skipping to the end. It might have been at the end. It might have been your favorite moment. That was probably one of my favorite moments, even though I don't all the way remember it. But what was your favorite moment of the card?
I think my favorite moment of the card was, man, it's kind of tough. But I'm gonna go with Aljamain Sterling, you know, finally winning the belt. You know, he's been ridiculed for, what, almost a year, year and a half, about the way he won the belt or was awarded the belt. And then to come back and do what he did in the fight, that was very impressive, man. And we'll talk about judging a little bit later. But, you know, he looked good. His girl looked good with him. Big shout-out to Aljamain Sterling for showing up, doing his thing, putting his flag in, claiming that bantamweight belt, man. So, yeah, that would be my favorite moment. What about you?
My favorite moment was probably I really liked Chimaev and Burns. I really thought that fight, I thought that was a great moment on the card, because for me, that was probably my favorite moment. And then, I mean, there was a couple great moments, but yeah, that was probably my favorite moment, because I was saying to people, you know, in the last couple of months, you know, back in like January, you know, Burns and Khamzat, you know, were agreed to fight on social media or whatever. And, you know, you saw the news like, okay, it's verbally agreed, but like, they didn't really, the UFC hadn't locked it in yet. And I've been said to people since, you know, I was saying it to people since they even were just talking about fighting. Everybody was like, oh, he's going to just, you know, he's going to stomp on Gilbert Burns, he's going to run through him and all this. And I'm like, yo, I'll say this. I'm like, I don't really know who's going to win, but, and that's why last week on our show, you know, when we did predictions, I was like, yo, I was like, do I even have to give a prediction for this? Because, And you were like, nah, you know how we do. We got to hear a prediction, which that's true. That's facts. And so I gave a prediction, but I really didn't want to give a prediction. And when I did my predictions a couple of days before the event, when you were like, damn, you let it go before we could get ours off. If you look at it, I wrote, like, I don't know on that fight. I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it because I really don't know. And that was kind of how I really felt about it. But I made a prediction for the sake of the show. But the reason why it was my favorite moment was because I feel like Gilbert Burns proved me right in the sense that he was going to be able to hang with Khamzat. And it wasn't going to be, you know, Khamzat's this, like, 5-point favorite or whatever it was. And all Burns is just, you know, he's like a stepping stone or something. And he's just going to run. It's like, you know, I felt like I think, you know, either of these guys can beat each other. Like, either guy can finish the other one, you know, in some way. I believe that. I still believe that. You know, they obviously didn't finish each other, but I still believe both guys have the skills to finish each other. I don't think it's like, oh, this dude can't beat him, like, or he can't, you know what I mean? And I
do
just,
you think
that was a good
do you think Burns won the fight?
I don't know. That one, I'm going to have to watch it back because I don't really recall how I had the rounds. I feel like during the fight, I was kind of just, like I said, we were kind of commentating the fights. Like, I didn't have a really close eye to it. Like, I was watching it, but I wasn't watching it closely enough to where I was judging it while it was going on. That's the way I would put it. I wasn't able to judge it like I do for many fights because I really didn't have a close enough eye to be able to judge rounds. And I don't like to just, you know, throw out guy won this round if I really don't feel like I, you know, watched it close enough to be able to call the rounds. You feel me? So I don't know. That's going to be one that, you know, if the event, if it's on ESPN Plus, I'm definitely going to be running that fight back. See, and I'm going to watch it closely and see, okay, now I know what happened. As well as, you know, you mentioned Aljamain Sterling and Jan. That's another one I'm going to have to watch back because that one I was watching with a closer eye, but by that point, I was also, like, the fight was 5 rounds, right?
Man, all right, I know what you're going to say, yeah.
Let me go. So by the time, so that fight was 25 minutes. Like, the first couple rounds, like, I was already faded. But then by the time, like, rounds 4 and 5 came, like, I was really in the sauce, bro. Like, I was getting to that point where I was just like, damn. Like, I didn't, you know, it is what it was because I really don't know, like, who won the rounds. It came to a point where, like, I was just watching it, and I was just, like, being entertained. Like, I had no idea. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I was watching it, and I was locked in on it, but I wasn't really, like, noticing, like, oh, all right, this guy got, okay, you know, he landed a big shot. Oh, Aljamain actually took him down twice. Like, I didn't have an analytical mind. I was just kind of watching it, and I was like, damn, okay. Like, so, yeah, both of those ones are going to have to run back. But, yeah, my favorite moment was Burns and Khamzat because I was proud to see Burns show people that, you know, he's one of the best guys in the world, too. And it wasn't just going to be, you know, basically a new guy on the block, you know, no, I don't mean that disrespectfully. Khamzat is very good. I'm a fan of him. But basically a new guy on the block compared to him was just going to come in and just run through him like he was nothing. Like that was, you know, that was never going to happen. And I was just proud to see him prove a lot of people wrong, you know, because nobody thought that. Most people didn't think that he was, you know, had a chance. So that was my favorite moment.
I picked Burns to win. I said he would win third round knockout. I thought I thought Khamzat didn't really fight had a good game plan going into the fight. But at the same time, Gilbert is good on the mat. So it was like, which one do you want to do? Do you want to stand up with Gilbert? Or do you want to try to take him down? So, you know, I think every time Khamzat tried to take him down, he denied the takedown, or he was right back on his feet. So, but I thought Gilbert fought a good fight. I actually thought he won the fight. I thought Khamzat won the first half of the third round, but I thought Gilbert won the second half of the third round because going into the third round, they were one round apiece. So the judges gave Khamzat a unanimous decision. I thought at worst it should have been a split decision, but I think one thing Gilbert did that Gilbert didn't do, his defense wasn't good. He was getting hit early and often, and then he was trying to trade. But at the same time, as when you look at his face and look at Khamzat's face, it was like, damn, Gilbert, Khamzat was in a fight, but you look like you was in a brawl. So, but I had Gilbert winning 2-1 because I thought he had a stronger third round. But, you know, Khamzat came out in the beginning of the third round, established himself, whereas Gilbert didn't establish himself to the second half of the third round, and that's probably why the judges probably all gave Khamzat the third round.
Yeah, I mean that's we'll see. I will go back that one, watch the tape, and we'll see where it's at with that. But one thing I do, let me just see this. Let me just take a look at the keyword here. Okay, we good. I'm gonna go back and look at that. But yeah, I'll be able to tell you, you know, my perspective on that fight and the Aljo Sterling. I can't actually, you know, tell you where I had that. The only thing that I didn't really know in that fight was by the time like round five is where I don't really remember how round five went and who I had in the round, because I was watching that fight pretty closely. And I want to say I had Aljo, I had each of them 2 rounds apiece at the end of round four.
Yep.
So I had it 2-2 going into the fifth. And then I just felt like whoever got round five was the winner of the fight. And I just don't remember round five at all. I'll have to watch that back and see. And, you know, we'll go from there. But one thing that I do want to bring up now is, you know, let's talk about this. You got, you know, a lot of matchups that could be made now, you know, for the winners and losers. And where I want to start us at is let's go into – I got to talk about this, man. My girl Tisa Torres and Mackenzie Dern, man. That's another fight that I really liked. I really liked that fight too. And I'm still proud of these stories, even though she quote unquote lost on the scorecard. I mean, I don't really understand that's the part of the judging where that raised an eyebrow to me. Cause I didn't see that at all. I mean, I felt like she won the first round clear. I felt like she lost the second round clear. And then I felt like she won the third round clear. So I don't really know how she lost that fight. I'm kind of lost. I mean, I don't really remember I don't know if it was like across the board, every judge had her losing the fight, or if it was a split decision. I don't really remember what they exactly had it as, but I definitely didn't see her lose that fight. I mean, do you know what you had for the rounds in that fight?
I had a 1-1 going into the third round. I thought the third round was pretty close. Neither one of them really did much in the third round. So basically, it all depends on, you know, who you scored it for. Me personally, I would have wished it was a draw because that's how close the third round was. I'm looking at the stats right now. Tisha Torres basically won every stat Except headshots. Mackenzie Dern had 42 headshots to Tisha Torres' 19, but total strikes, you had Tisha Torres 78 to 58. Significant strikes, Tisha Torres 76 to 50. Body shots 25 to 6. Leg kicks 32 to 2. Ground control, 3 minutes to 2.5. Mackenzie Dern did have 3 sub attempts to Tisha Torres, zero. So looking at the stats, Tisha Torres was probably more active than Mackenzie Dern. So, like I said, I wish it was a draw, but if you make me, say who won the fight, I would probably, looking at the stats, I would lean towards Tisha Torres. I thought Mackenzie Dern did a good job in negating really her speed, because I thought that's the only way Tisha Torres could really beat her was by negating her speed, by just throwing punches and moving and making Mackenzie chase her. Then in the second round, Mackenzie did what she do best. She took her down, and, you know, she did her thing. But the third round was just hard to judge to me, bro. It was just, it wasn't that much action. So it was like, who you thought did the most?
So you had it 1-1 going into the third round?
Yeah.
And then you don't know who won the third round?
I gave Tisha round. I gave Tisha round one. I gave Mackenzie round two. And like I said, neither one of them really did much in round three. So it all depends on who you like at that point. So I thought Tisha done enough to win the fight. So, but I wish it was a draw. I wouldn't have been mad with
it. I mean, I'm going to look it up right now, but I want to say that in round three, I don't think Mackenzie landed any takedowns. And at that point, you just had a striking match. And I'm pretty sure she got outstruck by, like, a pretty wide margin. That's the reason why I have T-shirt winning the third round clear. And that's why I was, like, confused with that decision. And my boy suggested that they did that because it's just, you know, the younger fighter, you know, I don't know what their actual ages are, but the younger fighter as it, like to the UFC, like a newer name, you know, neither one's brand new, but a newer name that, you know, they want to bring up, and I just kind of gave it to the fighter that, you know, I mean, they want to push her up. Whereas, you know, Tisha Torres hasn't fought for a title. I don't think she hasn't been to the very, very top yet either. So I don't really feel like she's, I feel like she's a fresh name in the title picture. I haven't seen her fight for a title. I don't even think I've seen her in a number one contender fight. Oh, she did fight Joanna, but I don't really know if that was necessarily a number one contender fight. But either way, I think I kind of agree with my boy. I think they just wanted to, you know, give that nod to Mackenzie Dern and just because she's an exciting prospect. You know, she's got the submission game locked down. You know, she's a good fighter on the ground. And that's, you know, a fighter that as far as female fighters, you know, they love when, you know, a female fighter can lock up submissions. You know, they were excited about that with Ronda Rousey. They were excited about that when Paige VanZant got a couple of submission wins. The UFC always likes to, you know, push, you know, that aspect of a, you know, a female fighter's game, their submission work, which is fine. I think that's just another, you know, that's an intrigue in Mackenzie Dern is she has that, you know, a great ability on the mat. And so whatever. I mean, I'm going to look up the stats right now. How do you see it on UFC.com?
I went to ESPN. Actually break the stats down. But they don't give you round by round, though.
But I feel like the round by round is out there somewhere. Like, I've seen round for round stats. UFCstats.com might have it. I'm going to have to look this up real quick. Hold on. We need this for the culture. Let's see, UFCstats.com. Here we go, baby. Mackenzie Dern and Tisha Torres. So Tisha Torres outlanded Mackenzie Dern 76-50 in the fight. Dern had three submission attempts. And that's the other thing. Like, look at the way Tisha handled that on the mat. Like, obviously, you know, she didn't look incredible on the mat, but I feel like she defended very well. You know what I mean? Like, those three submission attempts, I feel like, you know, that could, for most fighters, that was over, you know, with those positions that she was in. You know, I think for most of these, women, you know, fighting the UFC, I think, you know, they were done in those positions that she had Tisha in, and, you know, she escaped. So I give her a lot of credit for that. She fought Angela Hill. That was, damn, she hadn't fought since August. That's crazy. Damn, Jan and Sterling significant strikes. Jan was 63 to Sterling 62. That's crazy how close it was. That's really crazy. Yeah, I don't know if they give you the round by round for this.
Yeah, I couldn't find round by round.
I swear I've seen like that somewhere. Like, I've definitely seen rounds broken down before on a site.
I know they break it down on the telecast. Like, after each round, they break it down. But I have never seen it broken down, like, as far as, like, on ESPN or UFC. I even went to MMA Junkie.
Well, I'll say this. I definitely think she at least had double her strikes in the round. The number that comes to my mind was 27-9 in round three. That's the two numbers I want to say, because I was still kind of earlier into the card. I was sipping, but I wasn't. You know, I'm talking from there to, you know, main event, you know, end of Jan Sterling is where I was like, all right, I'm not even really, like, by the time Volcano was fighting Zombie, I was like, you know, halfway in the bag. Like, I was done. And that fight, I feel like I was watching that, like, on a dim setting. Like, that's the way I felt. But, I want to say it was 27-9. Maybe I'm off. Maybe it was, like, 25-12. But I want to say, either way, Tisha had double McKenzie's significant strikes in the third round. And where that was a striking round, I feel like that becomes more significant. So, yeah, we'll find it out at some point. You know, if and when I find it, I'll post it on Twitter and I'll tag you on it. We can look at that and, get, you know, get our thoughts off on who we thought won that round. I'll probably end up watching that. I'll probably end up watching the whole card back, honestly. I'll probably just watch the whole I have no interest in watching that Mark Madsen fight again, and he's a guy I'm a fan of, but I'll probably skip that one and just go right into McKenzie and Tisha. I'll probably just start right there and just watch all four of them. But, yeah, the thing that I want to get to right now is, you know, given everything, who do you like next for Mackenzie Dern to fight now? I mean, she just beat, like...
Man, that's a
definitely
tough
the
one,
big,
bro.
That's definitely the... Even though, you know, to me it's a little shaky. I mean, she had a good performance, but, I mean, I think the win is a little bit questionable, but, I mean, that is her biggest win of her career, I would say, to this point. Who do you think? I mean, let me look at – I'm going to pull up the rankings right now, and I'm going to help us out because they did update the rankings.
What was that, bantamweight? No, that was strawweight.
I think they – what was strawweight?
Hold on. Yeah, that was strawweight.
Okay, Tisha Torres is number 7 now. Mackenzie Dern moved up. Mackenzie Dern was number 5, and she moved up to 4.
Yeah.
Now, the only ones above her is Rose. Rose is about to fight Carla Esparza, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Wally is about to fight Joanna.
Who? Joanna isn't even in the rankings. I just realized that.
Yeah. But, yeah,
she's
about to fight
Joanna. So, yeah, Wiley's fighting Joanna. You know, Carla and Rose are about to fight. So, you pretty much, I mean, me, I don't really like once people go up, like, they fight down. At the same time, though, I do appreciate when it is done, because Mackenzie Dern, we wouldn't have had that match with Tisha Torres if, you know, she fought number 5 versus number 7. So that's, I mean, you can do it, but it's just like, I'm thinking if Marina Rodriguez doesn't have a fight, I mean, you
she
could
already
do...
beat McKenzie, though.
Oh, they already fought?
Yeah, she already beat McKenzie Dern.
All right, so what about McKenzie Dern and Yan Zhaonan?
I like it.
Yeah,
I was just about
four
to say that.
Number five.
I was like, if McKenzie goes to Dana and be like, hey, I want to run it back with Marina, I'm fine with that too. But fight down to Yan. Yan is actually pretty good.
Yeah, she is.
What's that, a 4-5? So it ain't really fighting down. It's actually Yan fighting up. So I kind of like that one because McKenzie lost to Marina. Unless she's going to ask for a fight against Marina.
Yeah, I mean, and she took Yan's spot at number four, the way it looks. So Yan was the number four, and then they just kind of switched spots because McKenzie moved up and knocked her out of the. So it's pretty much, you know, her fighting. Yan was at her spot in the rankings before. I mean, yeah, I think that might be the fight. Unless Dern wants to fight my other girl, Amanda Ribas. Unless she wants, or is it Amanda? It might be Hibas. Amanda Hibas?
Yeah, that's how
I might
you say
be
it.
Pronouncing that. Is it Hibas?
It's Hibas.
Hibas? All right, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amanda Hibas.
Yeah, but that's a 4-8, though.
Yeah, but we've seen that before. It's not, I mean, look at Chandler and Tony are about to fight. Isn't Tony like number 10 ranked now and Chandler's like 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're all, you know, I think I'm thrilled about that fight. I like that fight. And I think I've been wanting them to fight for like 2 years. So, and that's just, it happens. It's easy to get like stuck in like, oh, we want the fight.
No, that's a 7-5. That's a 7-5.
Okay.
Chandler's
so
5, Tony is 7.
But sometimes you need those types of fights, though. I mean, it's
–
we all know the rankings don't really – you know, they don't get obeyed. You know, the rankings aren't really gospel like we might think sometimes, you know, a lot of the time. So maybe you just got to make the fights that are available and the people that want to fight can just fight. Cause, you know, we know that you can just get a big win and you might just be fighting for that title anyways, you know. Dern could beat Amanda Hibas number 8 and then call, you know, and then Rose might want to fight. You know, if she's the one there, then she might end up getting it. So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, especially where Zhang Weili is going to fight Joanna, like, and everybody's tied up, like, you know, Marina's there. I don't know what Marina's doing, but, you know, you never know. You could end up fighting the champ. I mean, Cody Garbrandt, I want to say, was like number 8 ranked when he won his fight at number 8. I think he fought like the number 11 guy or something, and he knocked him out and then, you know, started talking trash to Cruz, and they made that fight. Same thing with Kevin Lee. It was like Kevin Lee was like number 9 or something, and he beat Michael Chiesa. I forget. Michael Chiesa was like maybe number 10 or number 7, and then he got an interim title fight, basically lightweight title fight with Tony Ferguson. It was like, so it just, I guess it just depends how you go about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think maybe Yan Zhaonan next for McKenzie Dern. I like that one.
I like
who
that
do you
one,
think
too.
And what about
I like
this?
That one too. Go ahead.
And what about this? Would it make sense for Tisha to get a higher-ranked opponent than McKenzie?
What about Tisha Torres versus Marina?
Well, that's what I was about to say to you, because I was looking at it and I was like, man, I think that might be a good scrap right there. That might be a great fight. Because, I mean, especially when you have a fight like that where it's like, okay, you know, they had McKenzie winning and I felt like McKenzie lost 2-1. But, I mean, I think both girls, either way, whoever you had winning, I think they both, you know, had good performances enough to where I feel like both of their stocks went up in the fight, win or lose. Whoever really won, whoever they lost, like, I think both their stocks went up regardless. Like, that doesn't always happen. Like, sometimes, you know, somebody will lose and it's like, all right, they definitely can't, you know, they can't end up winning as far as their next fight. Like, they can't, you know, some people will lose in a fashion that it's like, all right, now they're going to get, you know, their stock dropped. They're going to get something, you know, down lower. But that fight, I feel like they both look good enough to where they could go up. You know what I mean? They could. I think they that was a win for both of them, just like putting on that matchup, personally. And yeah, I think I like that. I think Tisha Torres and Marina Rodriguez. I think that's the play. Because I mean, what else? You know, what else is there? What fight is there to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't do, unless Mackenzie Dunn has to fight Marina Rodriguez, then the next fight for Tisha would be Yan. But I think any which way it goes, it's going to be those four fighting each other next. So, you know, you might get Tisha versus Marina, or you might get Mackenzie versus Marina, or you're going to get either Tisha or Mackenzie versus Yan. So any which way it goes, it's going to be those four probably fighting each other.
Yeah, I like that. All right, I mean, on to the next one. Let's go. So, Khamzat Chimaev, you know, beat Gilbert Burns, whoever, you know, people had winning, whatever. But, you know, Khamzat Chimaev, they gave him the win. So, with that being said, I mean, I think the next fight, you know, for Khamzat is, you know, probably Colby Covington, right?
Gotta be. He is not going to get a title shot. I don't think he deserved, I don't think he earned a title shot. I think you have to go with Chimaev versus Colby Covington. Now, a lot of people saying Gilbert Burns exposed Khamzat, but when I got to thinking about it, I was like, Gilbert is a good striker. I mean, Colby, he's got that relentless pressure, but is his hands really, really all that? I don't know if his hands really, really all that, but I do know that his pressure and his cardio aren't going to be broken. Gilbert looked tired in the third round. I don't think you're going to see that in Colby, but it's definitely got to be Colby Covington versus Khamzat. That should be his next fight.
Yeah, I think that's the next fight for him, too. I mean, that's another reason why I was happy with that, because I felt like Burns looked so good. I mean, everybody was going so crazy about Khamzat. They're like, oh, you know, he, you know, one significant strike in the first four fights. And it's like, yeah, that was impressive. But, I mean, he went in there versus Burns, and Burns landed, I think, 112 or 110 significant strikes on him. So he finally got in there with a tough guy, you know what I'm saying? He got in there with the competition that he should be facing now. I mean, it's like, you're going to get hit, you know what I'm saying? You're going to strike with these, you're going to get hit. And it's like, you know, that's another thing people don't realize is like, when you have a style like Khamzat, he's taking dudes down and smashing them out like right away or submitting them right away. Like, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's easy, but when he has that like quick finish kind of style, and he just wants to get guys out of there as quick as possible, yeah, you might not get hit that many times. Like the issue I had is people were comparing, like I saw a stat online, it was like, oh, like Conor McGregor absorbed like 110 significant strikes in his first four fights, and then Israel Adesanya absorbed, you know, 55 significant strikes his first four fights, and then Khamzat absorbed one. And I'm like, bro, but that's not even, like, comparing him to, like, Khabib Nurmagomedov in his first four fights, I think is a lot more fair of a comparison. Like, if you want to compare them, I think that's more fair because you're looking at, you know, two guys who are wrestling grapplers. You know, and Khabib also just – Khabib invented that, you know, take you down and smash, you know, style that Chimaev is starting to, you know, say Smash Bros. Like, Khabib, that's pretty much – inspired him, you know what I mean? That's where that is coming from. But, you know,
I
you
got
can't
the
compare him to guys. Yeah, but you can't,
I got
no, you can't compare him. You can't compare him to McGregor and Adesanya in their first four fights. You want to know why? because they're pure strikers. Of course they're going to get hit more.
Yep.
Of course they're going to get hit more. That's not, that doesn't even make sense. You're talking about a wrestler and grappler, a jiu-jitsu guy who is wants to come out and finish you right away versus McGregor and Adesanya, who Adesanya's a pure kickboxer. McGregor's like a pure boxer, kickboxing style. They're going to get hit more in the first four fights. Like when you're just standing in front of a guy, no matter how good your head movement is, your defense, you're going to get hit. If you're a striker, kickboxer style, Taekwondo style, you're going to get hit. That's just what it is. And comparing that to a wrestler grappler, it didn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, he went in there versus Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is tough as, you know, tough as nails. And he landed over 100 shots on him. So it is what it is. I think Gilbert Burns next. I think you go for Gilbert Burns next fight. Usman's going to fight Leon. Covington and Chimaev, Luque and Muhammad, I think are fighting this coming weekend. I wouldn't mind seeing him versus the winner of that fight. I think that might be the first one that comes to mind, in my opinion, for him, the winner of that fight. He already fought Thompson. He hasn't fought Masvidal. I mean, I know they were talking about fighting before. But Masvidal, I mean, he lost three fights consecutive. I don't know if I really care to see that fight. I'd say one of these two things, right? I'd say you either go Burns versus the winner of Luque and Bilal, or you go Burns versus the Sean Brady kid. I think that would be a good fight, too. Burns and that Sean Brady kid, I think that'd be my option B.
Actually, that's my option A. That's my option A, Gilbert versus Sean Brady. Sometimes when you're on your way up, you know, you get fights that you aren't supposed to get, and you win those fights. I think this is Gilbert Burns should get Sean Brady a fight that he is supposed to get, and that's against a top five guy. So I like Gilbert Burns fighting down to Sean Brady or Sean Brady fighting up to Gilbert Burns. I like that fight. I like to see the young guys, you know, earn a keep, just like Gilbert earned his keep. So, yeah, give Sean Brady a chance to fight a top five guy. Give him Gilbert Burns. And also, I want to go back to your combat thing. The thing is some of these guys, when they coming up and they beating people and they smoking guys, you just want to see them in a real fight. So, when Johnny Walker got into a real fight, he lost, and he looked bad. Chimaev got into a real fight this weekend. He didn't lose. He didn't look bad, but we actually got to see him in a real fight. And that's sometimes all we ask for is let's see a guy go through some adversity in a fight, fight a guy on his level, a guy that's going to make him think, a guy or a girl that's going to say, I'm going to negate your plan A. I'm going to make you fight plan B or maybe even plan C, and let's see what he does. And I think Burns did that to Chimaev on Saturday, man. He made him fight a fight, an uncomfortable fight at that.
And, you know, the thing is, too, is that, you know, people were saying, like, you know, Burns, yeah, he's like a jiu-jitsu world champion, but, you know, multi-time jiu-jitsu world champion, but, you know, Hamzat's grappling is just too much for him and all this. And I'm like, bro, you know what's funny about that? Hamzat literally came out, like, I think a day or two ago and said part of the reason why he wanted to knock out Burns so bad, part of the reason why he – that you saw a striking match was because he didn't like the grappling threat from Gilbert Burns.
And that's smart, because that was one thing when we broke the fight down last week. I was like, I don't think he really want to take Gilbert down, because Gilbert is comfortable on the mat. So that's why I thought Gilbert would knock him out, because Chimaev would basically have to fight standing up. And I really didn't see him surviving a stand-up fight against Gilbert, but he did.
Yeah, and props to him. I mean, you know, I don't think he was exposed either. I just, the word that I would put to it, and I really believe this, I think he was humbled. That's what I would say. And not humbled in the sense where people say, oh, a guy got knocked out, he got humbled. I'm not saying that. It's not like he lost, like he didn't even lose. It's not like he got dominated, you know, not like he got finished. I'm saying he got humbled in the sense that Gilbert, and I all the way believe this, Gilbert brought him down a couple notches from where he was at. I think Gilbert
yes.
brought him back down to earth.
Yes.
When I say humbled, he made Khamzat realize that he's not way above these guys the way that he's been saying that he is. You know, he's been talking about these top guys, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'll fight, you know, Kamar Usman. And I know he's supposed to say shit like this. I get it. But just I think Gilbert made him realize that you can say that and you can say that and get your way there. But just realize that that's not the truth. Like, you're not, you know, up in the sky way above all these guys. Like, the top of welterweight is a dangerous place. Like, those guys are killers. You know what I mean? That top five is insane. You know, Gilbert Burns, Kobe Covington, Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, like, that's an insane group of guys right there. And, like, to say, you know, Khamzat saying, like, he'll fight, you know, and beat Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman in the same night, and it's like, bro, that sounds crazy. That really sounds so crazy. Like, because a lot of people told me, you know, he would go in there and KO Israel Adesanya in a striking match. That's what a lot of people told me. And I'm like, bro, you guys really think his striking is better than Adesanya's? You really believe that? Like, and that's when I know that the hype has got people drunk. Like, the hype's got people drunk off the hype when you would say something like that. Because that just sounds silly to say. Like, you know, I've said some really bad takes, you know. I've had some really bad takes myself, but that's a terrible take, man. That's really bad. Like, you just really think a guy can come in, win a couple fights, and you're going to say he's a better striker than Israel Adesanya. You sound crazy. You know what I mean? Because I know Adesanya, not one of the most exciting guys to watch these days, whatever, but he's one of the best strikers in the world, bro. Like, that's just what it is. Like, he's one of the best there is. Like, he's one of those guys. It's like, it's just, it's hard to figure out what he's doing. You know what I mean? And it's like Wonderboy Thompson. Like, Wonderboy has only been knocked out, I think, that one time ever by Anthony Pettis, as far as I know. And that's because he's so hard to find. You can't figure him out. It's just like Adesanya. And, yeah, so that sounded crazy. But, yeah, Gilbert Burns, I think Gilbert Burns brought him down a few notches, bro. He brought him back down to earth and made him realize that you're not just going to run through us, like, and you're not going to run through me. You know what I mean? You know, I think you go in there, it's like Leon Edwards down if he fought him. But what happens if he can't get Leon Edwards down? You think he's just going to sit there and just – okay, so he's striking with Gilbert. Leon Edwards is also – Leon Edwards is a crazy – Leon Edwards, I mean, debatably, like, the best out of those four guys on the feet, out of Kamaru Usman and all those guys. He's debatably the best one, you know, maybe even by far. You know, he's one of the only guys left that still throws spinning ninja shit. He's one of the only guys you see doing spinning back fists and spinning elbows still, Leon Edwards. He's the only one. Like, you said it back in the day, I'm pretty sure, that, like, Leon Edwards' style kind of reminds you of, like, a younger John Jones. Pretty
exactly.
sure you said that. And it's like, he has a fun style to watch. You know, people just don't like to like him. They think it's, you know, cool to not like him. But, I mean, Leon Edwards, how are you going to sit there? If you have to strike with Leon Edwards, are you think you're going to knock him out? It's like, you're not going to knock him out, and you're probably not going to outstrike him. So, but I think that fight made him, you know, brought him down a few notches. He's back on earth now. So, it is what it is. Burns, I think, you know, we got that. So, next one, co-main event. So, I'm going to just tell you my two for this off the top. I think the next fight for Jan. No, wait. I'm sorry. I think the next fight for Aljo.
TJ.
You go. Yeah, you go.
TJ.
You go Aljo and TJ. Hold up, bro. I'm going to get mine. Chill out. So, yeah, I think you go Aljo and TJ next. I like that. I did want to see TJ get one more fight before he did it, but if they're going to talk about fighting and they want to fight, I'm down. Let's just go. I think TJ, he could fight him. Aljo and TJ. And then you go Jan. Man, he already fought. It's tough with Jan. Okay, yeah. That was the other one. So I was going to say, he fought Van Hagen. He fought, you know, those guys at the top already. So, yeah, I think you go Jan versus my boy Merab, bro. I think that's the fight. And you know what's funny is Merab actually posted a photo kind of taunting Peter Jan. He posted a photo kind of calling him out on Twitter earlier today. I'll send you the screenshot right now. But, yeah, I think those are the two fights for those guys.
And you and I have no debate about this one. TJ and Aljo, y'all do y'all thing. But Jan versus Merab, I am all in on that fight right there. Yes, sir, I am all in on that fight. Me and you are both fans of Merab. I would love to see him fight Petr Jan. Marlon Vera is fighting who? Rob Font?
Yeah, I think it's Marlon. Yep.
So Corey Sandhagen is kind of out of the mix unless he fights Jose Aldo, which I would sign up for that fight. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. So, come on, UFC, you got to make Marlon versus Petr Jan. That is a fight, man. To be honest, I don't know who I would pick right now between those two. I know I'm a big fan of Merab, but Petr Jan coming off this loss after talking so much shit to Aljo and then having to fight a dude that's in Aljo's camp who is Merab, who is a beast, who can do it on the mat and on the feet. Man, sign me up for that one, bro. I'm all in.
Yeah. I think that's a banger, bro. I think those are all banger matchups. You know, I think that's the 135. Yeah, the 135 division is hot right now, bro. That 135, no homo, that 135 division is crazy right now. Like that whole top. I think Sterling winning kind of made things more interesting. I don't know exactly how, but I think maybe because it like kind of forces Jan to like take a second look at like the other contenders coming up, like Merab, and like now you have a matchup like that might not have seemed, you know, so close, you know, since so realistic, you know, 6 months ago or a year ago, and then now it's like Sterling. You know, you can see the Sterling versus TJ, which I think is a great fight. You know, you can see, you know, Sterling versus Aldo instead of having like a Jan versus Aldo rematch, which, you know, I don't think many of us would really want to see. And you know, and then, you know, you don't have to have, you know, Aljo versus Jan, you know, trilogy. You know, I see them talking about that, but it doesn't seem like it's going to go that way right now. So I think Jan losing kind of made – because you know, if Jan won, they would have, you know, Aljo would have said, okay, now we're 1-1, you know, and so it would have been like that. But technically, since Aljo has won twice, you know, I think he can walk away from that and say, okay, let me get back to you later. And I'm not mad at that personally because I'm really sick of trilogies. You know, I'm really sick of like, okay, we need to fight three consecutive times, shit. Like that's really getting old. It's predictable. You know what I mean? It's like, why do we need to see the trilogy every time? Like, why can't guys just, like, let it play out down the line or something? Why do we always have to, you know, it's just DC and Stipe did it, and, like, that was fun, but it was, like, it held up the heavyweight division for, like, 3 years and no fresh matchups. Like, it took forever, you know what I mean? And then it's, like, now it's, like, trendy to do that. It's, like, Moreno and Figueiredo holding up flyweight now. Figueiredo is pushing for like a fourth fight with whatever. They're saying they want a fourth fight. And it's like, man, do we really need to keep fighting the same guys? Like, can we get some fresh matchups, please? It's insane, bro.
Actually, as you say that, I want to see Kyle France get his shot if Askarov would have beat Kerr France, I would have wanted him to get his shot. Make Brandon Moreno fight somebody else. You know, he lost. What he down officially, what, 2-1 or 1-1-1? Was it 1-1-1 or something like that? But I know me and you felt Moreno won both fights, won both of the two earlier fights. So Figueiredo is still down to me 2-1. But, yeah, man, I'd rather see Kyle France get in there, make Moreno fight somebody else. Maybe make him fight Askarov, and let's see what happens. But, yeah, man, I'm with you, man. I'm tired of all these 3 fights, 4 fights. Yo, let somebody else get in there. Make that other person earn their way back up. Just like the UFC made Max Holloway earn his way back up to get a third fight against Volkanovski. They made Robert Whittaker earn his way back up to get a rematch against Adesanya. So make these people earn that second or third fight. Don't just give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of Jan going back to the drawing board, you know, taking another fight. You know, Moreno going back to the drawing board, taking another fight. You know, Fig Newton go back to the drawing board, taking another fight. Now, I just like to go do some fresh matchups, and then, you know, we can get back to it later. Why do we got to just all be entitled to rematches all the time? It's like, you know, Masvidal fought Usman twice and didn't even take a fight in between. It was like, why did he even get a rematch like that and, like, didn't even take a fight? Like, I don't understand. I mean, at least, like, Colby Covington went and took a fight. Like, he went and got a good win and then went back and then fought Usman again. Like, I think that made sense. Why would he need to fight more than one fight to get back? He was the number one guy. So it's that, but that's what you should do. You shouldn't just go right back to it. No, let's just fight 100 times. Like, it's played out, man. The trilogy stuff is just ridiculous. And the fourth fight thing is just ridiculous. You know, that first fight shouldn't have even been a draw in the first place. Moreno won that first fight. So it is what it is. I mean, yeah, that trilogy, we're going to talk about that on the next show, because that trilogy is just insane. But yeah, what are you thinking for, we'll talk about that more next week. What are you thinking next for the Korean Zombie, bro?
Retirement. I think he need to take time off, because that was actually you tweeted it. I'm glad that Herb stopped the fight. I don't even know why his corner sent him back out. He was done. He wasn't doing anything. I don't think he was doing absorbing punishment. I don't know, man. I don't know what you do with him. I mean, do you give an Arnold Allen somebody that's beneath him? I'm quite sure you don't give him nobody above him. You're not giving him Cater, Rodriguez, Ortega, or Holloway. So you give him Arnold Allen or Josh Emmett. I don't know, bro. I think the way he was talking after the fight, that he's going to retire, maybe that's a little quick, but I say you do a 5-6 matchup with him and Arnold Allen. But outside of that, or even Josh Emmett, but I'm looking at all these guys that's below him, Dan Ige, Bryce Mitchell, Gige Chikadze, Sadiq Youssef, Edson Barboza. Probably out of all these guys, I only think he can beat maybe Edson Barboza, maybe. So, I say ride off into the sunset, man. What you say?
Bro, I'm actually changing my pick, my bad. I was typing out our predictions on Twitter. I've been liking to do that lately. I've been typing out who we got. But while I was doing it, and you were just naming off some guys, it just hit me. You know who I want, Teek? The Korean Zombie to fight? I don't want him to retire. Because, you know, actually, I think he just looked so bad because Volcano made him look that bad. I think that's what happened. I think he just made him look so bad. And it was, I said this is such a mismatch. Like, he's going to destroy him. And that's what he did. He destroyed him. You know what I mean? He absolutely took his soul. Like, Volkanovski probably could have got him out of there in the first round if he wanted to be honest. Like, he probably could have took him out of there. And he said it. I was watching his interview last night. Ariel Helwani said, yo, I was talking to the Korean Zombie during the fight, and I asked him, like, bro, do you still want to keep doing this? And I guess, like, the Korean Zombie told him, like, he said he didn't think – maybe he didn't understand him, but Korean Zombie, I guess, like, nodded his head or said, yeah, whatever, want to keep going. And Volcano said he was feeling bad for him. Like, I think that was in, like, round two. Like, he said he was feeling bad, so – And Herb Dean knew it, and in the third round, Herb Dean, he talked, Volkanovski was talking to Herb Dean, he was like, yeah, you know, he let him go out there in the fourth, but he was like, as soon as he starts taking, he takes a couple shots, you know, he's kind of like, let's see if he can, I mean, pull something together. If he takes a couple shots, you know, I'm stopping this, and that's what happened. So I think the Volcano just made him look really bad, but I'm going, I say you give the Korean Zombie to Calvin Kattar. I think that's the play, bro. What do you think about that?
Man, I don't think you give him nobody above him, dog. I think Calvin Kattar is sitting above him. I don't see – I just think Korean Zombie best days are behind him, man. And plus, he's a one-trick pony. He's an old dinosaur in a new dinosaur world. Dog, you can't just be a stand-up guy in this game no more. That just doesn't work. Because if you're just a stand-up guy and you can't get off, you're going to get your ass whooped like he did Saturday. And I see Calvin Kattar doing the same thing. So I would say fight down, not up, if I'm Korean Zombie. So that's where I'm at with it.
Okay, and now next one right here, and we'll close out the show. Who do you got next for the king of the featherweights, the guy I've been calling Volcano lately? He's a Volcano now. That's the new shit. Alexander Volkanovski, who do you think he should defend his belt next against? A lot of people, regrettably, a lot of people I'm kind of ashamed of this. A lot of people want him to fight Henry Cejudo. I mean, I'm not crazy about that. You know, I'm very much not caring about that fight. But people are saying that. Obviously, you know, Holloway is still there. You know, Holloway was supposed to fight him. You know, he mentioned that in the post fight interview. You know, there was a fight that was supposed to happen, and you know, so that would have been the fight if, you know, whatever happened with Holloway didn't happen. I don't know if he's injured right now or what, but what do you think? What should be next? Volkanovski to 155? Go fight Poirier or something? What do you think?
Nope. Volkanovski, Holloway 3. I felt Holloway won the second fight. That's just me. I think you felt the same way. I could be wrong. I thought Holloway won the second fight. I didn't think Volkanovski won the second fight. And Holloway has done what we asked Robert Whittaker to do. He's went out there and won two or three fights to get himself back in the title picture. So I like Holloway getting the third fight. And then if Volkanovski can beat Holloway, then you let Henry Cejudo come back. But Henry Cejudo has to be in the pool for 6 months. So you just let Volkanovski sit for 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I got to say, you know, in lieu of what I was saying about being sick of guys fighting over and over in trilogies, I'm really not dying to see him and Holloway go again. It's a great fight. Like, if it were to get booked tomorrow, I'd be excited. You know, I'd be breaking out the Ciroc boys for that card, too. Like, yeah, it's something that, you know, that I love to see the fight, but at the same time, like, I'm not dying to see it, you know, because it's just, we've seen him fight twice now. It's like, you know, Max did go and fight, you know, a couple guys, and he looked great. And then, you know, Volcano, you know, has fought a couple guys. He looked great, both of them. So, you know, it's been a little bit. I mean, if they, like I said, if they book it tomorrow, you know, I'd be cool with that. But, yeah, that's not, you know, I wouldn't say that's option A for me. That's probably option B for me. I think option A, I don't remember who I had. I got to watch their rematch again, because I only remember their first fight, and I think I had Volkanovski. I remember being, like, really upset that night. I was, like, really hurt that, like, I felt like Max lost him so badly in the first fight. I want to say I had the Volcano either 4-1 or 5-0. I felt like he completely dominated Max in the first fight. And I remember I said, I thought Max, because he did all those title fights, I felt like he was just so active that, you know, that might have led to him having a, you know, a bad performance. The second fight, I really don't remember. I remember, like, thinking, I know that I felt Holloway looked a lot better in the second fight, but I couldn't tell you who I had with the rounds and everything. I don't remember it that well. I only watched it that one time live, so that's another one that I'm going to have to write down on my list to watch back in ESPN Plus, you know, here, you know, in the next week or so. I'm going to have to watch that back, and then I'll let you know. But, no, that'll be my option B. My option A would be for the Volcano to move up to 155. I don't really know whether he would be small for 155. Evan actually brought that up. I was talking to Evan earlier this week, and Evan brought up how he felt like the Volcano is pretty small. He might be pretty small for 155. And I was like, yeah, maybe you're right. I don't really know how he would look once he goes up there. You know, he's in the face-off with one of those guys. I don't know. I know he has fought at welterweight. He's fought at middleweight. You know, he used to be a much bigger guy, but I don't know. I don't know how he would look. But I think, yeah, go up to 155. I mean, I don't know if Max is still injured. Like, I saw a tweet from him, I think, yesterday. But it was just like an emoji or something. So I don't really know like what he was getting at with that tweet. I don't know if he's going to fight. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I think he go up to 155 while we figure out where Max is at, and that we could come back and run that one. I'd like Volkanovski going and fighting up there. I think a fight I would like for him, you know, there's a guy up there right now that currently doesn't have a fight. He's one of the only guys up there in 155 doesn't have a fight. That's Dustin Poirier. Poirier's been waiting for a fight, man. I think you go Volcano and Dustin Poirier. I think that's the fight. I mean, Oliveira's going to fight Gaethje. Chandler's going to fight Ferguson. I mean, all the guys you would think of him fighting are busy right now. Dustin Poirier, I think that's a great fight.
Man. You know what? Being that he's new to the division, if he go up to 155, I give him a vet. I give him RDA. RDA versus Volkanovski. They both bought the same height, I think. I think they both got kind of sort of the same body build. Because I think in most of these fights that if he moves up, he's going to be fighting tall, lanky guys. Can he fight through the arm reach that he's going to be at a disadvantage probably in most fights? So I would say RDA if he moves up. And if he doesn't move up, hey, it's Holloway turn.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool with me. I mean, I just want to know where Holloway's at. I mean, if he, like I said, if Holloway comes out tomorrow, like, that's my option B, but I'm not hating on him. Like, I love Holloway, you know that. And I just don't know where he's at. And I think it would be exciting to see Volkanovski go up to 155. I mean, and I definitely don't give a shit to see him fight Henry Cejudo. Like, I'm not trying to have him sit on the bench for 6 months or – even if it was 6 weeks, I don't want to see him fight Henry Cejudo. I don't care about that match. You know what I'm saying? It's like the division hopping thing has just really gotten old to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been so many double champions, too. That's another thing about it that just it really don't move the needle for me. Like, it's the division hopping, you know, era. Like, I'm just kind of sick of that. Like, people just coming in to, like, fight at a weight class and then just dip out and, like, not want to be in the weight class. Like, GSP, like, he came back just to fight Bisping, win the title, and then, you know, said he wasn't going to fight. And it's like, Cejudo pretty much, I mean, 135, he fought Cruz after he won the belt. But then he dipped out, and it was like, you know, flyweight, he defended against TJ, I think, and then he dipped out to 135. So it was like, he just won a bout and then, like, did a fight, left, and won a bout, did a fight, left, and it's just like, now he wants to division hop again, calling out, you know, Volkanovski, calling out Conor McGregor. It's like, yo, I'm sick of this dude, man. I had to mute him on Twitter, bro. I can't deal with his tweets, bro. It's like, it's obnoxious. Like, every day, like, calling out Volkanovski, it's like, yo, shut up, man. Like, shut up, bro. Like, every day, it's like he has nothing to do, man. Like, you got to go train at the gym or go to a day job or, like, what are you doing? Like, you're just tweeting all the time. Like, I had to mute him, man. I was giving – that was like, nauseating to read his tweets all the time, bro. I had to get him up out of there. So, yeah, I don't really give a damn about that match. And, yeah, if Holloway comes out, bro, he would have – if he would have come out in 2 days and Holloway said, yo, let's go, we'll run it in, 2 months or June on Keys' birthday. You know, if Holloway said, yeah, let's run it on Keys' birthday on the June 11th card with Rob Whitaker, I'd be like, yo, let's fucking go, bro. Let's go, bro. That's, oof. Yo, that would be the perfect situation. That would be the absolute perfect situation. Volcano barely took damage in the fight. If he wanted to do a thing in 2 months, I wouldn't be mad at that. But I also wouldn't be mad at that if they were like, yo, let's run it on International Fight Week. I also wouldn't be mad at that either. So, yeah, if Holloway comes out, then let's do it.
Yeah, man, let's do it. You know, it all depends on the matchmaking, bro, and what fights fighters are willing to take and which fights fighters want to make. So we'll see what happens over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, no, great show. I mean, we went over time a little bit because, you know, we were having a great conversation. We had a great, you know, back and forth here. We got to a lot of topics. We got to winners and losers of pretty much the entire main card besides the first fight on UFC 273. And yeah, we got to what's next for each guy. Got to definitely a lot of good dialogue there. Thank you to the people that listen to our show or who have ever listened. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, Easter is this Sunday, so, you know, I like to wish a happy Easter to, you know, any families out there that are, you know, celebrating it. You know, those of you who aren't, you know, still wishing you a great weekend, like I always do, like we always do, and a great week. You know, stay up and stay positive and keep grinding, everybody. That's pretty much all I got, Lee, as far as yours, bro.
Man, short and sweet tonight, man. Everybody take care of yourself. Have a good long weekend. Like Key said, if you celebrate Easter, have a good Easter weekend. If you don't, have a good weekend. Your boy Lee, I'll be doing some more moving this weekend, getting rid of stuff in my house, getting ready for my move next week. So, hey, I'm just looking forward to it. Lee and Keys, back at you. As always, signing off, we hit you with the pace.